glorify your name. Irikepo shanta irike monde. Glorify your name. Irikepo shanta ikemole dikemo shanta. Just lift your voices praying in the spirit.
All together.
Irikepo shanta irikete sente erikemole te sente. Wori ala rakama hikepo shanta hikemo shanta. Mori ala rekete sente hikemo shanta hi. Mori ala rekemo shanta hirikepo shanta pepa. We lift up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103. What does it say? You can be seated. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not his benefits. He forgives all of my iniquities, all of my sins. They're all forgiven. They're all under the blood. He heals all of our diseases. Sicknesses, pains, it's all paid for. He heals all of our sicknesses. He redeems my life from destruction.
I'm not destroyed.
Hallelujah.
I'm not destroyed, O Lord.
Amen.
I'm fruitful before you, Lord.
He heals all of my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's why we go around loving people and we're merciful. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. What's the next one? He feeds my mouth with good things. Good things. It tastes good, right, Randy?
Better than a steak.
Yeah, amen. He feeds my mouth with good things and renews my youth as the eagles. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that every member, every person of this congregation, Abundant Life Center, would experience healing and health in their bodies right now. Lord, I know there's a few that have the flu, but we command that flu to leave in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we're redeemed from sickness and disease. So we declare healing and health in all of us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's also pray for Alan.
Maybe pray for Mike and Jimmy.
Okay. So there's a prayer request here to pray for Mike and Jeannie. He's dealing with a few health issues. So let's lift him up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your healing anointing is flowing in Mike right now, that he would receive his healing. We come against that condition in the name of Jesus. You must bow to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyone else? You want prayer for healing? Special prayer for healing? All right. We're always here to pray for one another.
Yes.
Healing. Amen. Let's pray for Alan as well. I think, did he have a little report here from Alan? If you look at your bulletin, he said everything is going well here. Our last pastor's conference begins tomorrow morning in about 15 and a half hours, he says. It is tomorrow and Thursday. This was written when? In February 17. Yeah, this was in February 17. Then he'll return to Kandy, which is the main city where he's at, on Friday. On Sunday morning, which would be this morning, of course, it'd be already over for them. On Sunday morning, I will be sharing for the fourth and final time at Pastor Pradeep's. Am I pronouncing his name right? Pradeep's church in Kandy. Last Sunday was quite amazing. God moved greatly in the people. Many relationships that had long been broken were this. I love this. Because he's doing this all over. Amen. Many relations that have long been broken were repaired when God had me share about the necessity of forgiveness. I wish you could have heard all the testimonies. It was still going on after the service ended and continued on even into the evening as I heard about the reconciliations that occurred in people's homes later. Now that's revival.
Yes.
That's revival. Amen.
Yes,
Monday night, we will be going to one of the church leaders' homes. Tuesday morning, I will be sharing for the second time with the leaders of the church. So when is he coming home? Do you know, Donna? 27th, which is this week, coming up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Alan.
Yes.
We thank you that you're using him mightily by the Spirit of God. And we pray as he ministers in the remaining days there that there would be a demonstration of your spirit and your ability as he ministers the word of God. We thank you for the revival that's taking place in the churches there and among the leaders. We thank you, Lord, that relationships are being restored and your love and peace is reigning in Sri Lanka in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a short message from Pop Dempsey. I think most of you, I think I saw almost all of you at the funeral yesterday or at the celebration. It was quite a celebration, wasn't it? It was great. Anymore, that's the kind of, we don't call them funerals anymore. We call them a celebration of life, or we call them honoring them. We have a time of honoring them. So it is a celebration. When we know the person is a believer, and they go home to be with Jesus. So, Debbie, he has a very short message for the church. Now, I know there's a lot not here this morning, but that's okay. We'll play it for you that are here. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
With the technology we have today, they can leave a message like that. And then we have something else that he told Donna at her last visit with him. And this is what he said to you, right?
When I asked him what words he would have for the people that did not get to sit with him.
I desire to share something very special, and I know it will bless your heart. This is Donna talking. I visited with Pop. Before he went to be with the Lord, my heart was touched and blessed. I can remember feeling an awareness that eternity was in the room. We felt the same way when we were there, Kathy and I. I knew this was a time of last words between us, and he shared things on his heart the best he could. Before I arrived, it was already on my heart to ask him a particular question. And my question was, Pop, there are many in our church that are not able to be, that are not going to be able to visit you one last time. What last words do you have for us as a church? Without hesitation, he said, I was planted here on purpose. This is his words now. I was planted here on purpose to bear fruit. I don't want to leave Abundant Life Center, but I want to leave this world and see Jesus. Sounds a little bit like Paul, right? I'm betwixt two, I don't know if I want to stay or if I want to go. But he said, for your sakes, I'll stay, I think is what Paul said. I will miss you all. Thank you, brothers and sisters. You are all special. You were so kind-hearted to me. Then he says, be committed to the work of Abundant Life Center. So I would like to, I know there's a few of you here from the Dempsey family. If you would come up, and we would just want to surround you and pray for you. Anybody that's here from the Dempsey family. And the rest of you, come gather around them. Come on up. That's fine. Yeah, just stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, any time we have a loved one go home to be with the Lord, we as a congregation in church, we always need to surround them with prayers and love, especially the days of, after, and in the months to come. So I always like to pray publicly for the family and to show our support. We all gather around them. All right. Now, I know there's many more. I mean, yesterday was such a celebration. It was awesome. It was awesome. And that's how a homecoming should be. But I love the graduation theme. That was so good. That was so good. So I know, so we will pray, know that those that are here are representing the whole family, because there's more that are a part of the congregation here. Mike and Jeannie and Liz and Jim.
And Joe.
Dr. Joe and his boys. And who?
Ann and Bob.
Ann and Bob, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just, they're representing the whole family, so we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. Does anybody want have a prayer that you have for them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit on each and every family member. Father, I pray that they continue to remember the good times. Take them on through the grieving process on the wholeness. Father, I thank you, Lord, that they would be focused more than ever on their purpose.
Yes.
The kingdom, that they would all be convicted to all the more press into your word, press into your kingdom, to seek first you and your right way of doing things and having everything else added, having that testimony at the end. Father, for the family members that might not be so close to you, draw them in, Lord. Mm-hmm. Draw them in. Bring wholeness to the whole family. May they become one in spirit, mm-hmm, with you, God, and with each other.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the reconciliations. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
For the testimony of Pop.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the great work you've done in his life.
Yes.
And how many lives have been touched as a result. Mm-hmm. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for him.
Thank you, Lord.
Give him a message from us to him that we dearly love him.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the heritage that he has left and his legacy. Not only for the family that is left here, but also, Lord, so many lives that he has touched. So I pray now for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to each member of his family in the name of Jesus. I pray especially for those that were very close to him. I pray, Lord, that in the days to come, they would experience a manifest presence, comfort, and peace of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There's one thing I forgot to say yesterday.
Okay.
What I forgot to mention was Pop received the promise because he met the conditions. He knew that God was one God and there is no other. He's going to stand before him. And he obeyed his laws, kept his precepts, mm-hmm, and received the promise.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Randy.
You pray, or me pray, for Pastor Dave Landis. His wife fell on the ice.
Yeah.
And she came with a broken arm. Do you want to pray for that?
No, go ahead.
Just wanted to bring one more prayer request to the table. If you all were here yesterday at the funeral, Sister Barb Pastor Dan's, David, thank you. Janet knew it. She knew it, but it's like, nah, it's not that. Pastor David's wife, she was in great pain yesterday. She was here with a broken arm, and it wasn't fixed yet. So I'm saying they put a temporary cast on it until they could do surgery on it and fix her arm. If you didn't see her or talk to her, I just wanted to let you make you aware of that. So compassion was rising up in me, and I felt like, I'm going to pray for God. You can fix this.
Yeah.
You know, you can fix this. You're my surgeon. You're my doctor. But I know you're among those who help me. And this is what I shared. Psalm 118, Pastor Dan talked about it. It was like, it's got new insight. Never saw that before. And all of a sudden, this new insight. You're with those. You're among those that help me, Lord. So these doctors are going to help her. It's my prayer that they're going to find, oh my gosh, it's perfect. Just needs time to heal, whatever. God can do a miracle for her. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your miracle power.
Lord. Hallelujah.
You know exactly, you formed her bones in her body, oh Lord, when she was in the womb. And that's the way we want them to return, Father, to where they were before. Father, we thank you that you repair her arm in the name of Jesus, and her faith and Brother David's faith is that you will repair her, Father God.
Speedy.
We thank
speedy
you. Recovery. Speedily recovery, yes. Lord God. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So can you imagine the celebration that they had in heaven? There's three bills. And when we visited Pop, he mentioned this. When Kathy and I visited him for the last time, he said, you know, there's three bills going to be in heaven from the Abundant Life Center. And I'm sure they're up there rejoicing and of course, with many others as well. So last week, we talked about Grace Academy. We talked about ministry to children. I just wanted to let you know that we still have the offering box in the back if God puts it on your heart to give towards the ministry of Grace Academy. Also, I want to say thank you for all the birthday cards and all the gifts. Very encouraging. Every one of them had some kind of gift in it. And so I thank you for that. I'll thank you publicly. That way I won't have to write a thank you note for each one. Is that acceptable? Is that all right? All right. I was surprised, and I just wasn't alert because Donna had, I mean, I look back now and I see, well, there was a couple of little signs, but I never thought about it. And I'm known to not be surprised, right, dear? I'm known to find out about a party that you're having for me over the years, but Donna was able to accomplish it. I don't know if you knew about it or not, dear, did you? She did. Yeah, she was afraid that Kathy would give away the secret. But anyway, thank you so much. It is so appreciated. We love this congregation. We love each one of you. We pray for you. And we look forward to what God's going to do through us, through this congregation. So I want to get into the Word of God here a little bit. But before I do that, I want to again speak the vision that I've spoken a while back. I know you have the vision on your is it on the bulletin? You didn't put it on this week, which is fine. But most times it's on the bulletin, and it's like the overriding vision, which is awesome. But this is what we spoke a number of weeks ago. The Abundant Life Center is a word-preaching church. And we need to all extend our faith in this way because we're all part of it. And this is what God is doing through each one of us because we do it as a congregation, as a group. It is a word-preaching church. It is Holy Spirit-filled church, worshiping church, praying church, a soul-winning church, a giving church. It is a fellowshipping church, life-giving or ministering church. It is a loving church. and it is a healing church. And also the last one I added later, it is a growing church. Amen? We're believing for increase in many different ways. We believe for increase in each one of our personal lives, increase in a comprehension into God's ways and purposes, increase in the Word of God into our lives, an increase of the manifestation and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we also believe that there will be an increase here at Abundant Life Center. Increase children's ministry, youth ministry, every part of the ministry. Amen?
Yes.
Y'all in agreement?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the Word of God, this book we have in the natural, which is awesome, have it in physical reading form, your will for our lives. And it is a foundation which will never be shaken. And Lord, we strengthen that foundation. We put this word into our lives, knowing that as we build that foundation into our lives, that we will not be shaken. Thank you for Holy Spirit who lives in us. He guides us. He directs us. He is the one who directs our steps every day, every moment, as we yield to him. Thank you that he is our teacher and that he takes the Word of God and he causes it to come alive on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know last week we talked about children a lot, talked about the sanctity of life and things like that. But if we go back to the previous couple weeks, we were talking about why bad things happen to good people. And 2 weeks ago, I shared a number of scriptures, but I felt the Lord wanted us to at least have one more sermon along this line. I don't know if there'll be more on that or not. So I guess you say, well, you speak in series. Well, I don't necessarily intend and think about what we're going to talk about this series now. But usually when I receive the first message, I will have enough of material for, I usually think I'm not going to have enough, but I usually have enough of material for 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes even 4 weeks. And that's the case with this. This would be the third week we're talking about these kind of things. But when things happen, like I shared with you, I think last week, my brother Merv buried. Buried a grandchild. She was stillborn. The cord, everything was fine. They had just been in for a checkup a couple days before. The baby was overdue by about a week. And she started bleeding and rushed her to the hospital. And they had a C-section and the baby didn't make it. Because the cord had been severed from, I have no idea, separated from the placenta, and therefore the baby wasn't receiving life. So that's always sad. It's just so much, I mean, I don't want to paint a real bad picture, but you know, there's so much sadness in the world. But we have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So we have Pop Dempsey going home, we're rejoicing, he lived a full life. And then you have a little baby that didn't even have a chance of living on the earth. I mean, she lived inside the womb. They gave her a name and buried her on Thursday, I think it was. And so it's a sad time. Those kind of things are sad times. But also we know that that little girl is in our future. That little girl, we're going to meet up with her in heaven.
Yes.
And I can just imagine that little girl going up to heaven and she meets her great-grandmother. And her great-grandmother is probably able to hold her. So there's always rejoicing no matter what time in life somebody goes. And then today, I'm telling you sad stories, but there's also a lot of good things happening, all right? I like to talk from what we live and what we experience, and that's the way we share these things. But today we have a viewing, of one of my nieces. She's only 50 years old. And I think she's the first grandchild. First, like my parents, it would be first of my nieces and nephews, except for Sam and Sherlyn had a young child that was killed in an accident. But it would be the first of those that have grown up. She has three children. They're teenagers. I think the oldest is maybe 19 or 20. And this crazy thing of cancer killed her. Some say, well, I guess it was her time. I disagree fully. I feel in situations like that, we're robbed. Doesn't mean they don't go to heaven. We don't judge of why and so forth. We don't deal with the whys, but we deal with more of the things that we do know. And we know she's rejoicing also in heaven. She probably met the little girl that just went because it's family. She probably met my mom, which would be her grandmother, and this little girl's great-grandmother. And they're probably up there rejoicing.
Yes.
I don't know what they do in heaven. I don't know if they're able to reminisce of the things that happen on earth. I don't know. I know they do know some things about the earth if you read in Revelations, because they come to God, the martyrs come to God and says, when are you going to avenge our blood? So apparently they see some things on the earth, but I don't know how much. The Bible doesn't reveal that. But we do get glimpses into heaven, like times when Pop goes, when my parents went. I shared a few things at the graveside yesterday. So we do get glimpses of heaven, and we know there's rejoicing. And we also have a teaching in the Bible. We know that the day will come when we'll all be there. We'll all receive our new bodies.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
We'll all receive our new bodies. Now, my opinion is that we don't go to our final destination until we go to the new heaven and the new earth. So I'm not quite sure where they go, but they go in a heavenly place in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they go now.
Right.
But it does say very clearly that they will receive their resurrected bodies when we all go up to be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. What all that means, I don't know. But I know that they are still alert. I know they have all the features that we would have on the earth today when they go right now. So because they're rejoicing, they know people and all those kind of things. I remember one time I was talking to my dad-in-law, Kathy's dad. He was an Amish preacher, and he was a good guy, and he was really good. He was born again, and we would talk about what we preach and things like that. He always accepted us, even though we weren't Amish anymore. But I remember one time we were talking about this, and he says, it's not going to be good up there because we won't know each other. Remember when he said that? And we said, Dad, we believe the Bible teaches that we'll get to know each other, that we know each other. I mean, what would heaven be like if we wouldn't know each other? We're not just going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. I'm going to help rule and reign. I don't know about you. I don't know if we'll reign over planets or what. I don't know. But and I believe we'll be creative because that's how he created us. I believe we'll be creatures of faith, even in heaven, because that's how he created us. But anyway, so there's a lot of things we don't know about heaven, and it's probably good we don't, or we'd all want to just go right now because things are so wonderful. I did have a little vision at one point. I don't know if I ever shared it here or not. But I saw the heavenly city, and it was one of the most beautiful things that I ever saw. And it was like, let's go. But I can't describe it. I mean, it was big. It was like a cube thing like it reads about in the Bible. And it was so brilliant, colorful. There's no way I can describe it. I have no earthly words to describe what I saw, except it was bright. It was just amazing. You see, I'm struggling trying to find words. And then I saw a river, and Pop Dempsey, he swam up that river. He swam up that lake or whatever it was and went into the very presence of God, into the city or wherever he's at. So I thank the Lord for those glimpses that we have. But the question still remains, why do bad things happen to good people? We looked at a few scriptures about the mentality that we may have that if something bad happens to a person, that we have the tendency to judge that person. And right away we say, well, why that happened to that person? What did they do wrong? And that's not just Christian people that do that. You have the mentality in humans, they have that kind of mentality. So if something bad happened, I guess God's mad at me. That's how I grew up. Well, something bad happened to me, so I guess I did something wrong and God's angry at me. But we have learned since then that these things are not orchestrated by God. But we use John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I am come that you may have life and life more abundant. So since I grew up thinking about that God is mad at me as soon as I do something wrong, and he has this big fly swatter or something can squish me, but that's not the picture that the Bible paints of God, not of our loving Heavenly Father. Because he is not the one who orchestrates these kind of things. He does not orchestrate the sadness and the loss and the defeat that we see on the earth today, and even the evil that we see on the earth today. And that scripture, I've told you before, that scripture in John 10:10 is my guiding foundational scripture when I judge if it's from God or if it isn't from God. If there's no life in it, it's not from God. If there's destruction in it, it's not from God. Because the things that God does for us and the things he has done for us through Jesus Christ, they always produce life.
Yes. Absolutely.
If any of you want to just shout, you can do that, but or you can run around if you want. Be careful how close you get up here because I might trip you, but no, I won't do that. Now, we don't do those kind of things just for the sake of doing them. We were in Tulsa, and we were there for a few days. We were going to stay for the whole week, but we were able to take in a few services at Rhema at our homecoming, and we were refreshed. So I thought of that because sometimes they have services out there where people will run around the church and during worship and things like that, and I'm okay with that. So did you find John chapter 9?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because if you didn't, you might never find it. Now, as Jesus passed by, and this is a scripture that a lot of people use to try to tell you that God sometimes orchestrates evil things. So this is the question. It's the same question. Why do bad things happen to good people? It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples, they had this kind of mentality that I'm talking about. His disciples would ask him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? That's judgment. Trying to prove or trying to find out or try to figure out why this man was experiencing this evil thing. Blindness is not good. Amen?
That's right.
Now, if there's blind people, we minister to them and so on, and there's never any condemnation to anyone when bad things happen. Not God's people. Now, God may show us things that will give us insight of where the door was open or something like that. Sometimes it's just a direct attack of the devil. Or sometimes it's simply because we're living on this evil earth. Now, we have promises in the Word of God that show us that if we have those promises in our lives, we can be protected from those things. Anybody here? Amen? So here he says, and his disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? Why was he born blind? That he was born blind. Jesus answered. Now notice the answer. People always are trying to figure out what God meant here, thinking that God orchestrated it. But Jesus was very plain with his answer. He said, the man didn't sin. Nor his parents, they didn't sin. You getting the picture? Jesus is not trying to judge that. Now, he might have had answers and so on. But then he goes on and says, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. So people might say this, that this man was born blind. In other words, God had him born blind so that he could bring glory, so that the healing could bring glory to him. But if you take the whole counsel of the Word of God and don't just pick out this one scripture, you find very quickly that our God is not that way. We don't know why he was born blind. I don't know. The Bible doesn't fully tell us why he was born blind. We don't know. We don't always know everything. Anybody here, you know everything? You have all the answers? Well, if you do, not quite. Well, if you do, then I'm going to sit down and I'll let you preach. All right? Okay, so we don't always know everything. We don't always know why this little baby died. We don't know exactly why Marlene, her name is, why she went home to be with the Lord at 50. We don't know why she got cancer. We know it's evil. But we don't look at that family or her family and say, well, you know, we got to find out why this happened. That's judgmental. Now, of course, we have some truth in the Word of God. And maybe we have opportunity to share that truth, but we don't share it in a judgmental way. But we allow God, the Spirit of God, to be our teacher. I mean, why have certain things happen to you or me? And you don't have to come and try to figure it out for me, because that becomes judgmental. Are you with me here this morning?
Amen.
But we come and we minister mercy. And then if God wants us to show us something, or he has a word for us, for that person, well, then we deliver that. But it is the Spirit of God who will teach us. And those things that we need to know, he will teach us. We also know we get a lot of insight from the Word of God. But that does not give me a right. If I have certain insight concerning certain things, I cannot come to you in your time of distress and judge you and saying, well, you know, if you would have just read this word, this wouldn't have happened.